And so if you don't already feel it, you are now in a field of love. You are now in a field of oneness, a field of compassion and of unity and of equality. We're in the field of spirit right now. And so tomorrow is the holiday and the celebration of Bodhi Day. And so it is a holiday that is celebrated by Buddhists, and it is a commemoration of the day that the Buddha, Siddhartha Gautama, actually achieved enlightenment. And so that word Bodhi in Sanskrit, which is the ancient language of India, Bodhi actually means enlightenment. And so in honor of Bodhi Day, today we're going to look at the idea of enlightenment and what it means and how it applies to us and how we bring enlightenment into our own lives. And so the title of my talk today is Awakening, because it was the day that the Buddha awakened or became enlightened. And so why even talk about enlightenment or awakening? Because as spiritual beings, we have this need to experience our spirit. We have a need to live our spirituality. We have a need to live in alignment with our own divine nature. We have a need to awaken from that sense perception that we are only this limited ego and only this personality, and instead to allow our spirit to guide us. To allow our spirit to guide us through our lives rather than just our ego to guide us. Because when we do that, when we allow our own spirits to guide us, it leads us into a life of deep fulfillment and a life of satisfaction and a life that feels really good. And so why talk about awakening? Because at some point in our lives when we are just living from our ego and just living from our personality self with all of its foibles and all of its neuroticisms and its desires to accumulate and to acquire wealth and status and things in our life with its shallow needs of the personality, at some point it begins to feel like it's not enough and it begins to feel empty. Does anybody ever experience that? Like something's just missing. Because each and every single one of us has a call within us to something deeper. And that deeper is our own divine nature. That deeper is to experience that one, which is the ground of beingness itself. That we live and move and have our beingness within. That one that is within and through and around everything. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes talks about this. He says, that subtle something which runs through all things and which we call, quote, the thing itself, that energy without which nothing can be energized, that life without which nothing can live, that power without which nothing can move, and that spirit without nothing can be, is God. It is only as we live in conscious union with the spirit and consciously let it work through us that we really live, that we really feel alive, that we really feel satisfied. And so to me, that word awakening, to awaken, means to become aware of that one all-pervading presence, that one that is always fully present in every single moment of our lives. It means to be aware of that, to live in that. It means to be aware of the fact that that nature of the divine is our own essential nature. That nature exists within each one of us. And then to live out of that knowingness and that awareness. And so Adi Shanti says, enlightenment means waking up to what you truly are and being that. It's waking up to what we are and then being that in the world. That's awakening. That's enlightenment. The problem is, as you know, is we so often are just identified with our personality. We are identified with our likes and our dislikes and the characteristics that we contain within ourselves. We say or think, I'm smart, or I'm not so smart, or I'm playful, or I'm serious, or I'm shy, or I'm boisterous, or I'm funny, or I'm boring, or I'm really cool, or maybe not. We identify with our roles and our jobs. I am a husband, or a wife, or a parent, or a teacher. I am a psychologist, computer programmer, or I am retired. We identify and think that those things are who we are, but none of those things are who you are. They are simply aspects of your personality. They are aspects of your egoic self. And so becoming enlightened really is not confined to any one particular religion or one particular spiritual path. In fact, one of the aspects of enlightenment is to realize that that one all-pervading presence is beyond any religion and that it is beyond any doctrine. That's part of what enlightenment is. And so throughout history, we have seen many people who have become enlightened or who have awakened. And yes, Buddha is one of them who is being celebrated tomorrow on this holiday of Bodhi Day. Also, awakened beings include Heraclitus and Krishnamurti and Lao Tzu and Moses and Muhammad and Parahansa Yogananda and Plotinus and St. Catherine of Siena and, of course, Jesus, whom they call the Christ, the light of the world, which is all about illumination, that Jesus was illuminated also, enlightened, awakened. And so Alan Wilson Watts says, Jesus Christ knew he was God. So wake up and find out who you really are. In our culture, of course, they'll say you're crazy. They'll say you're blasphemous. And they will either put you in jail or in the nut house, which is pretty much the same thing. However, if you wake up in India and tell your friends and your relations, my goodness, I've just discovered that I'm God, they'll laugh and say, oh, congratulations, at last you found out. We are awakening to that truth about who and what we are. And so enlightenment or awakening doesn't happen all at once, although I'm sure that it has for some people. But to me, I think enlightenment or awakening happens bit by bit by bit. It happens one piece at a time and in different ways and in different areas with different insights and different awakenings. But it does take courting something. It takes courting your own spirituality. It takes courting the I am-ness within you. It takes courting that one divine presence that is at the center and circumference of your life. It requires spiritual practice. It requires turning inward to your own beingness and residing there for a while. It takes getting outside of your chattering monkey mind and the busyness of your life and the fast pace that we are going at all of the time. And guess what? That busyness and that pace is just about to increase because the holidays are upon us. And so Maria Irving says, awakening means you've come home to yourself. You've come home to yourself. That consciousness shifted back to its original nature. It's discovering yourself with a capital S, your own divine nature and who you are. And so what does awakening or enlightenment look like? I think it begins, one of the ways it begins, is by seeing through different eyes. We see through the eyes of our spirit instead of the eyes of our personality. We see through the eyes of the divine as we look out into the world. Things change the way we see them. People change the way we see them. I think it begins with feeling a connection to everyone and everything. It is not seeing other people and other cultures, people from other countries, as different and separate, but instead it's seeing that underlying connection and that oneness and that unity that we have with everyone. You know, we did Hug Day yesterday at Lakewood Center Mall. That's exactly what happens when we are at Hug Day. We see beyond the surface. We see beyond the differences to that underlying something. We see it in ourselves, and we see it in other people. We see the love. We see the spirit. We see the light. Regardless if the shell looks like a gang member or somebody you would not normally talk to. Seeing through different eyes. We went to Hug Day yesterday, and it was so much fun. 11 of us went, and Chris Braunschweiger was there. She told me she quit counting at 250 how many people she'd hugged. And I know we hugged many more than 250, and it was awesome. So awakening means also that we become inner-directed, that our morality shifts from the things that we've been raised with and the ideas that our culture teaches us or that our family has taught us to a higher morality. It's an inner sense of right and wrong. It's an authentic inner sense of right and wrong. And it may not match what our society tells us is right and wrong. It could be things like having that realization and seeing through those eyes that all of life is sacred, regardless of who you are. Instead of some people are more valuable than others because they have more money or more status or more education, it's seeing that we are all valuable and lovable and worthy and equal. It's seeing that we are all sacred beings, whether you're an American or not an American. It's seeing through those eyes. When we awaken, our compassion grows. We start caring about things and for things more than we did. Our altruism expands, and we want to make a difference in the world. We want to be that beneficial presence, and it just becomes who we are and how we are in the world. We cease identifying with our group as we awaken. We cease identifying with our family or our culture or the country that we are from, and instead we become global citizens, where it is one world and one human family, where we are all connected to each other and part of the one. And yes, awakening also means that you become awake to your own spirit, to your own divine beingness, to that divine presence that lives within you, to your own soul. And you become also awake to that infinite presence that permeates all things, that presence of light and love that is in everything. And then that awareness is the thing that informs your actions, the thing that guides you, the thing that leads you through your life. And so I wanted to share a story with you out of The Art of Being from Dennis Merritt Jones. This recently, I spent time at a spiritual retreat at the Asilomar Conference Center in Pacific Grove, California. That's where we have our conference, which is located at the very tip of the Monterey Peninsula. It is without question one of the most breathtaking spots I've ever visited. In the past 27 years, I have spent many weeks or more there, communing with my peers and with nature. Asilomar is one of those places that seems to have a sense of sacredness to it, with the ocean, the wildlife, and the amazing trees, it is not too difficult to actually feel the presence of God emanating from all of it. Even the people on retreat seem to emit God essence. Just prior to leaving, as I stood at the back of the deck of the very room in which I had stayed perhaps 20 years ago, I looked at the beauty that lay before me. I found myself saying, "This place is timeless. It is beautiful and sacred as it was the first time I set foot on these grounds in 1977. Nothing has changed. At that moment, a voice, which over the years has become known to me as divine love, spoke to me gently and said, "Oh yes, something has changed. You, my beloved, have changed." With that simple revelation, I began to weep. It was true. The Asilomar grounds were as sacred as they had always been, but I had changed. I, too, had become sacred in my own eyes. Not that I could ever be more or less sacred in God's eyes. The truth is, life is a sacred experience for all of us. Always has been and always shall be. We cannot become more spiritual than we are in this holy moment. We are already 100% spirit. It is about awakening to this truth. That's what makes you and me sacred. That's what the practice of spirituality does. It awakens us to who we have always been. We don't have to go to a retreat center to know this. Granted, it may be easier to learn about and remember our spiritual connectedness to God while in an Asilomar setting, but the opportunity to really practice spirituality comes when we get home from the, quote, camp consciousness. Our human tendency is to label some places and some people and some events as more sacred than others. In 1977, that's how I saw life, through the eyes of duality. I saw Asilomar as a sacred place, and when I went there in search of a spiritual experience, never realizing I was already the spiritual experience. The reality is our everyday, ordinary lives can be transformed into a spiritual experience by remembering to remember that there can be no more of God in a spiritual retreat than on the interstate freeway at 6 p.m. I bet you never thought of a concrete freeway as sacred ground, have you? Your entire life is a sacred experience. So you can go through life looking for an experience out there, or you can awaken to the fact that you are a spiritual experience, wherever you are and whatever you are doing. Don't wait until your next spiritual retreat to know this. Know that you are loved and supported today on your quest to awaken to your own divine splendor in every holy instant. You are a sacred experience. You are a spiritual experience. You are here as that divine presence living your life. When we live out of that awareness, and when we live out of that consciousness, life becomes magical. Life becomes deeply satisfying. We feel more alive. And it takes practice. We just finished class, self-mastery class. And the last night of class, we asked ourselves some questions and answered them. And one of the questions was, what have you discovered or revealed or realized about your relationship with the divine through taking this class? And somebody shared that they realized that that divine presence is always present, but we only feel it, we're only aware of it when we look for it, when we notice it, when we court that presence. It's always present, but we don't know that unless we look for it. We don't notice it unless we notice it in our lives. Otherwise, we don't feel it in our lives. And so we court that presence through things like coming here. Coming here where I get to, and through the music and the readings, we get to remind you of what you already know. That knowingness already lives within you. We're just stirring it and waking it up. So yes, once again, you can feel your own spirit, your own divine beingness. That knowingness is stirred so you can recognize it. We court that presence through things like singing spiritual songs, where we feel our hearts open, where we feel that our souls get to come out and be present. It feels like when we're singing those kind of spiritual songs, like those songs are just manna from heaven and they feed us. And that's what we do here at pre-service singing. We open our hearts and get to get filled up. It feeds us. We do that. We court the presence by spending time in nature. It's so easy to feel that presence when we're in nature. It's so easy to see the creativity of the divine and to see this order that is taking place in everything, to feel that energy and to feel the peace that is really always present in and behind everything. And so in this book, he has a little exercise that I like, that I'm going to tell you about, that you can do on your own. I really like this. He says, choose a place where you have no trouble experiencing a strong sense of God's presence. Perhaps a garden, a church sanctuary, or a park. Spend time in that place deepening your experience of the divine and feel it permeate the essence of your being. Then, the next time you're in a place where you may have labeled as less than spiritual, i.e. your workplace or the post office or the gym, pause, take a conscious breath, and remember the feeling you had when you had that strong sense of God's presence. Stay with that feeling until you realize that in this holy instant, you are standing on sacred ground. You are not just having a spiritual experience. You are the personification of God's presence. You are a spiritual experience. The sacred includes you. I love that. And so we do those things to court the presence. And we do affirmative prayer, where we talk to ourselves and talk us past our ideas of limitation and where we think we're stuck. We talk ourselves past our fears and our doubts. We do it through meditation, where we gain an experience, a felt sense of who we are in the sense of expansiveness, the sense of oneness. Swami Vivekananda says, you have to grow from the inside out. No one can teach you. None can make you spiritual. There is no other teacher than your own soul. It's communing with your own soul, giving space for that in your life, giving quiet for that in your life, doing whatever it is you need to do to stir you so that you can awaken to that. And so my invitation to you this week is to support yourself in your own awakening. However that looks for you. Read spiritual books and write and spend time in nature and spend time in the silence and sing and pray and meditate and look for proof of the divine as you move through your life. Identify with your own divine essence, your own beingness. Identify with your spirit and with that all-pervading presence that is a presence of love and a presence of good, that is your own authentic essence. And as a result, you will be awakening to spirit all around you, awakening to spirit in everything, in everyone, and you will fall in love with life. And you will see the good everywhere. And so blessings to all of you on this path of awakening to that one infinite and divine presence. And blessings to you as you awaken to your own self. Blessings to all of you. And so I would like to give you 2 minutes to, if you have reflections or intentions out of that, to just take a moment to write those down. And so if you can wrap up that last thought. And I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. What a blessing it is to be awakening. What a blessing it is to recognize that omnipresence of spirit that is right here. That presence of spirit that fills this room, that fills our lives, that fills all of time and all of space with its infinite beingness. And I recognize this presence as that infinite and boundless good. I recognizing that it is the animating force within each and every single one of us, and it is that which maintains and sustains each of us. It is that life itself, the life of God that is living within us and the life of God that is living itself through each and every single one of us. And so today I know that there is an awakening happening, that there is something new transpiring. For we have created this field of love, this field of truth and of light, and out of that new actions arise. And so today we are absolutely blessed. We are guided and we are led by infinite intelligence on this path. We are guided and we are led by spirit itself. And we are guided and led by our own divine essence and divine nature, which is none other than the outpicturing of that one. And so today we walk this path as emanations of that one. We walk this path as emanations of love and light and truth and goodness, of power and magnificence and beauty. And our lives are filled with that. And so I know right now that that one presence and one power is unfolding itself in our lives and in our homes and in our places of work as abundance and prosperity, as richness and blessings, as peace and harmony, as a sense of well-being and a deep sense of knowing that regardless of what any situation looks like, that at the center of it, all is well. Because all of it is the unfolding of perfection, the unfolding of the bounty of good. And so we just rest in this knowing, knowing that this is the truth and has always been. Today, we are just simply recognizing it. And so we recognize this truth and we revel in it and we trust in it and we relax into it. And how blessed we are. And so I release this word into the creative law of the universe, which is the creative law of our own beingness. And I allow it to unfold as the good that it is. And I say, thank you, God, and so it is.